looks similar to that. I have not seen this prior.
All right, I think we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome to the January 24th PIDAC meeting. I'm Ryan Price with Department of Planning and Zoning, the staff liaison to the design group. And we have one agenda item tonight, the American Physical Therapy Association building, which is in Land Bay G. Before we start, let's just go around the room and introduce each other and go from there. And then after that, proceed with the minutes from last month. Ryan Price, Planning and Zoning.
Jason Elders, PIDAC, and the chair.
Tim Casey, PIDAC.
Dorian Dernberg.
Matt Johnston.
And Jeremy Fritz.
Francisco Duran, PIDAC.
Should we keep going? Yeah. I'm Bob Brandt. I'm a land use attorney with the firm Walsh Colucci, representing APTA in the application.
Duncan Lyons. I'm the design director at Gensler in Washington, and we're the architects working with APTA on the project.
Ivan Girich, architect at Gensler.
Robert Black, architect at Gensler.
Dan Roth, a resident here in Montgomery.
Sean Welch, with APTA.
Jeff Rose, president.
Michael Whitehead, the resident in Montgomery.
Andrew Buckley, president.
Robert Vaughn, KBG Smith, the manager on Lake G, and also provided by the services for this today.
I'm Dan Doug, seated very loud, once the department.
Gary Wagner, planning and zoning department.
Thanks for grabbing the planning and zoning.
All right. Again, let's. We got a copy of the minutes here, so let's get the meeting underway. Are there any issues or comments with accepting the minutes?
I'm not prepared for that.
Okay. I mean. Use a copy. I think I have an extra copy for some reason, but I think it accurately reflects what happened at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to make a motion to accept them into the?
So moved.
Second.
All right.
I would. Did I miss that we were supposed to vote on the minutes? Come prepared to vote on the minutes? Because I did not realize that.
Okay, that's usually what we do at the beginning of each meeting to just review and accept the minutes from the previous, which is why they're included in the packet for this meeting. So.
Yeah, they're typically approved every meeting at the beginning for the previous meeting. It's a standard procedure.
One thing that would be really useful is if we're going to vote on the minutes, it could be one of the agenda items.
Noted. We can certainly add it to the agenda. We do put them in the packets, but we could definitely do that next time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That we had a motion seconded, so let's go ahead and approve the minutes from last meeting from September. So this item on the agenda would be the presentation for the APTA.
You do need a vote.
Oh, yeah. Apologies. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Nay.
Aye. 5-1. All right, now let's move on to the APTA presentation.
Great, thank you very much. Again, my name is Bob Brandt. I'm a land use attorney with the firm Walsh Colucci. I and our team here tonight are working with APTA on a proposal for the organization's new headquarters, which is headquarters proposed to be in Potomac Yard, MBG Potomac Yard. I'm going to give a brief kind of general overview of the proposal, the property, a little bit of the zoning background, the approval history for the property, and then I'm going to turn it over to Duncan Lyons with Gensler, who's kind of heading up our architecture team. And Duncan is going to do a detailed presentation about the buildings that were, the building that we're proposing to build here. First, APTA, you may or may not be aware, is the National Association, Professional Association for Physical Therapists. It was founded in 1921, and as they approach their 100-year anniversary, they are exploring opportunities to develop a new headquarters for the organization. The organization is currently headquartered in the city of Alexandria. They occupy three office buildings in the Trans-Potomac Plaza office complex on North Fairfax Street in North Old Town. And again, as they get toward their 100-year anniversary, they thought it was a good time to explore opportunities and options to develop a new headquarters, to upgrade, enhance their facilities for the benefit of their employees and also their members. They very strongly feel that they want to remain here in Alexandria, and they thought that Potomac Yard provided a great opportunity for them to do so. Duncan, if we can kind of roll forward a little bit, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the property, where it's located in the context of the surrounding area. I mentioned before, we are in an area of Potomac Yard known as Land Bay G. Specifically, the property is on Block A1, and it's located basically in the northernmost portion of CBD number 10, just south of the Target Shopping Center on the Potomac Yard Shopping Center. It's bordered on the east by Potomac Avenue and on the south by the NIB building that is currently under construction. Future road improvements in the area will include Doak Street, which will be constructed immediately to the west of the property, and Wesman Drive, which is in the future plan for connection from Route 1 all the way east to Potomac Avenue. You can see here, this exhibit does a great job of showing planned development, approved development, and other construction development in the surrounding area. I mentioned previously NIB, that's immediately south of the property. It's currently under construction. The future IDA building is located immediately to the west. What's not necessarily evident from this exhibit is that the future Potomac Yard Metro Rail Station is located immediately east of this property. And in fact, the future southernmost entrance to the Potomac Yard Metro Rail Station will be located just about here, just across the street from Potomac Avenue. So this location is really an ideal location for APTA. Its employees, its visitors will have very convenient access to metro and transit in the surrounding area. And this is going to be a great mixed-use development area in the future. A bit about the zoning approval history. This is part of Coordinated Development District number 10, which includes all of Potomac Yard. And previously, Land Bay G was approved through a DSUP, or Development Special Use Permit, originally in 2009. The original approval included 9 different buildings on 8 blocks in Land Bay G. I mentioned earlier that this was all previously under the original approvals identified as Block A. In 2015, you may recall, NIB came in with an amendment to the underlying DSUP, and that amendment, once it was approved by council in 2015, subdivided Block A into 2 blocks, what is currently Block A1, the future APTA site, and Block A2, the NIB site. Under the original approvals back in 2009, this block, the entirety of Block A, was planned for approximately 220,000 square feet of office development and about 10,000 square feet of ground floor retail space on the ground floor. The 2015 NIB approval did not change the overall floor area. NIB is constructing approximately 100,000, just under 100,000 square feet of office there. So there remains approximately 120,000 square feet of office floor area remaining to be used on Block A1. But the proposal that you're about to see tonight includes approximately 117,000 square feet of office, which is within the permitted density that was always planned for this block, and 7 stories at 7 stories of height. The maximum permitted height for this block is 110 feet. We are under that. We're approximately 108 feet in height. So we're not requesting any additional height, not requesting any additional floor area. We're simply amending the DSUP, which was most recently amended in 2015, to allow for the construction of the future APTA headquarters. With that, I'm going to let Duncan do a lot of the talking tonight because we're here to talk about architecture, we're here to talk about design, and obtain your feedback. I should mention that this is the first time we're coming to you all, so we're not requesting any sort of resolution, we're not requesting any sort of vote. We've not yet filed our preliminary site plan application, which will be coming in the next couple of weeks, but we will come back to you in the future for an update. We're very interested in hearing your thoughts on the architecture and on the proposed design, and we're here to answer any questions you all may have. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Duncan and let him walk you through the proposal.
Thanks, Bob. So I'm sure you guys are all pretty familiar with Potomac Yards as you represent it or live here. So thank you all for coming out tonight. We appreciate your interest. As Bob said, this is really Block A1, which is the northern portion of the Block A parcel. And it also includes what is indicated on the site here as Outlot A. And you can kind of see, if you look under the blue area, that originally Doak Street was going to make a kind of a hard right and connect to Potomac through Outlot A. But as the North Potomac Yard plan has been developed, and the plan for the future of Westman Drive has it kind of make a turn to the north and connect to Potomac Avenue further north, Outlot A has become a site that is now available and has been included into the development site for APTA's project. We're not building the building on Outlot A. We are extending our parking levels below Outlot A. But what Outlot A really represents, and the kind of triangular space immediately to the north of it, is the opportunity to create an open space. And so we really see that as a pretty fantastic opportunity to not only site the building, but kind of give the building a kind of a front lawn or a front plaza. A public open space that sets off the building and is really an opportunity, I think, for APTA to sort of give something back to the community. And part of what they want to do with this project is improve their community engagement versus where they are located today. So that plaza, which we'll show you a little bit later in the presentation, is really, you know, a great opportunity for this to be more than just a new building, but really a new building and a new public space associated with that building. So that's something we're very excited about. Let me keep going here. I wanted to just kind of recap a little bit on our two neighbors. To the south is the National Industries for the Blind. This is a rendering of that building. It's a combination of a very glassy element at the corner, at the southeast corner of the building, and then more of kind of a punch window expression on the remaining facades. And on the property to the west of our site is this is a rendering of the proposed building for IDA on that site. So again, a combination of glazed curtain wall and more of a punch window expression. In this case, NIB was brick. In this case, it's more of a precast concrete facade material. And so we are working with a similar palette of materials with the design of the APTA building. And I'm going to show you some 3D views. They're not professional renderings. They're just our in-house views of our model that we've brought tonight. They're all still in progress. So what we're really doing here is we're sort of giving you kind of an early look at the design studies that we've been making. And we wanted to show you these early studies. We don't want to get all the way to having fully completed the design and then show it to you. We wanted to show it to you early and have the opportunity for you to give us some feedback earlier in our design process. I'm going to start with talking quickly about the site. We've sort of reversed our orientation now. So north is to the right, and south is to the left. The part of the block that's shown in gray is the NIB, the building, and that's showing the ground floor of the NIB building. And then the part of the building, the part of the plan that's shown in white is the ground floor, proposed current plan ground floor of the APTA building. And then the area to the north of that, to the right-hand side of that, is the proposed area for the plaza that I just described. The arrows here are indicating where the major entry points are to the building. So we have our main entrance to the east, facing the metro, facing Potomac Avenue, and that's where the front door of the building will be in the entrance lobby. We have our loading entry and parking entry to the west, so kind of at the top of the page coming off of Doak Street, and kind of opposite the parking and loading entry for IDA, and next to the parking and loading entry for NIB. And then to the north, we really wanted to make sure the building had a meaningful connection to that plaza space that I was describing. So we have a stair that is located on the north side of the building that will have an exit from the stair out to the plaza. And also a couple of entries, we're looking at an amenity space, which we're hoping will be some sort of cafe that will connect directly to the plaza. And then at the very northwest corner, where that little arrow is indicated, we have, I guess I can use my cursor to point here. This is a secondary entry for the building, and this entry is intended to be for people who are biking or jogging or just want to go out back and forth to the plaza. So we have kind of our formal front door on Potomac, and then on the plaza we have what we're calling our active entry. And part of the reason for that is that one of the philosophies that we've been exploring with APTA regarding their headquarters is this idea of, you know, if you think about physical therapy, it's all about movement, right? So this idea about rewarding movement and expressing movement and really making that a part of the design of their headquarters. So a lot of buildings have, you know, bike storages and fitness centers and locker rooms, and very often they're in the basement of the building and you have to ride down the ramp to get to them. In this case, we wanted to actually celebrate people who are riding their bikes or jogging and really create a very nice entrance dedicated to them with bike storage right at the ground floor of the building, with locker rooms and fitness right at the ground floor of the building, and then with this beautiful plaza that they can use to come and go from the building. So it's really celebrating people who want to use the Mount Vernon Trail, the Potomac Yard Trail, and you know, use the bicycle as their primary means of access to the project. So that's showing the other functions. One other thing I just wanted to point out real briefly is the buildings that APTA are in today are fairly typical office buildings. They have you know, relatively small floor plates with a center core, i.e. the elevators, restrooms, everything are located in the center, and the space is kind of a donut of space around the core. One of the things that we're proposing to do is locate one stair at the north side of the building, and then the remaining elements of the core, the elevators and the second stair and restrooms, and typically are located at the south side of the building. So unlike most office buildings, we don't have a core in the middle. We have one big open floor plate that is very flexible, very efficient, and really has light entering from both the east and the west without that sort of barrier of the core in the building. And I mention this only because as APTA is moving from their current location to this location, they really are interested in affecting a change in their culture and the way that they work and the way that their employees and their members collaborate with one another. And this idea of a big open floor plate with kind of the core elements pushed to the outside of the building is an important part of the party and the diagram for the building that we've been developing. I guess I should have switched to this earlier. This is showing that just at a larger scale, the plaza, the building, and this idea that we've got our stair. One of the stairs is located here and discharges through the lobby. The second stair is located here and discharges directly to the plaza. And again, one of the things that a typical office building generally has is two fire stairs, right? And they're usually in the center of the building, and they're used for emergency use, and you know, they're serviceable but nothing special. What we really wanted to do in this building was encourage people to move and to take the stairs as they move between floors. And so APTA, I think, actually said to us early on in the project, we would kind of like it if none of our people ever took an elevator, if everyone always used the stairs. And so as part of this idea of rewarding movement in the building, rather than do two typical fire stairs, we have one fire stair
which has a wall of glass that looks out over the plaza, that looks down on the plaza, and that has a really great view looking north up Potomac Avenue. And we have a second stair that is actually incorporated into an atrium that runs the full seven stories of the building. So the experience of taking the stairs is a much nicer, a much more enjoyable experience than you typically find in most office buildings. And that's how we're rewarding that movement and rewarding the use of the stairs as the primary vertical circulation. Of course, the building is fully accessible, so we still have elevators. And those elevators will be available and will be used, especially for people going to the upper floors of the building who may not want to take the stairs. So I wanted to jump to some of the three-dimensional views of the project and talk a little bit about our concepts behind the architecture of the building. This is just some of the conceptual drivers. And really, we're taking our inspiration from two main areas. One is really thinking about the context of Potomac Yards. And as the diagram on the left is indicating, we really see that as being capitalizing upon the views that this site affords to the occupants of the building, and also the views of that building. So the fact that the site immediately to the east of this project is where the metro is located, there's a stormwater management facility, there's a park, there's really always going to be, from the upper floors of this building, an uninterrupted view of the rest of Potomac Yards, of the river, of the parkway, of the airport, of the whole skyline of DC, and that's really a pretty special opportunity within the building to have that kind of view be available to the users of the building. So that outward focus and capitalizing upon that view has been one of our main drivers. Also, I mentioned earlier, but the view going straight north, this point on the building is directly on axis with Potomac Avenue. So as North Potomac Yards is developed and that area is improved, the view looking straight up that street will be very important. And the view that people have as they come south on that street will be very focused on this northern facade of the APTA building. So really responding to the context, responding to the views, is one of our main starting points for the design process. The second one, really, as I mentioned, is thinking about, you know, what are APTA about? What is this building saying about the organization? And a couple of the themes that we've been sort of returning to as we develop this idea is the idea of evoking the body. You know, physical therapy is really founded in this fundamental understanding of the body and how it functions. So as we think about the architecture, we've been thinking a lot about balance, about stability, about form and proportion, and things that feel as though they're correctly proportioned in the same way as we think about human bodies as being about balance and symmetry and proportion. And then the other thing, as I mentioned, is this idea of thinking about movement, how movement will animate the building, and how people moving within the building are rewarded by the experience of moving between floors of the building. So those are kind of our main conceptual drivers for the form of the building. Now, I'm going to mention just very briefly that somehow, despite our best effort, this projector has sort of squeezed these images in the horizontal direction. So everything is a little bit taller and skinnier than it would really be. It looks correct on my screen, but it's a little bit out of proportion in the view. So, but I think you'll still get a sense of what we're really trying to accomplish with the building. So this is kind of just an aerial view from above Potomac Avenue, looking at the building. And the forms that you see kind of to the left of this view over here, this is a representation of the NIB building. And this corner right here is the northeast corner of the NIB building. And then this is how we're building out, we're proposing to mask the APTA building and build out the remainder of the site. So some of the things that I think are very important to note here, Bob mentioned it's a seven-story building, but what you'll see is that while it's a seven-story building on this side, of the Mass. It's really a six-story building on this side of the Mass. And what we're doing is we're creating above that sixth floor a very large and a very gracious roof terrace. And that roof terrace is positioned on that curved facade of the building really to enjoy that panoramic view looking out across the parkway and the river and to the skyline of DC. So that was an important consideration for the building, is really creating a lot of buildings have roof terraces these days. In this case, we wanted to create a really nice roof terrace and also have that roof terrace be at an elevation that connects back into program spaces. So APTA at the moment is considering possible uses for that floor, including a conference center and meeting spaces that are a part of their program, but that could potentially also be used by others, including other tenants of the building, as and when it might be available. So the roof terrace is an important component, and the way that the Mass is stepping down to create that roof terrace adjacent to the seventh floor spaces. The other thing that you notice featured fairly prominently is that stair tower. This is that stair that I had pointed out earlier, which is located on the north side of the building. And we're really expressing that as a strong vertical element that sort of breaks up the mass of the building. And that vertical element is really what you will see as you're driving down Potomac Avenue. It will be this very strong vertical marker at the end of the building. And you'll see the stair, you'll see movement of people within the stair. APTA staff, as they move between floors, we really, again, think that they're going to be using the stair more than they use the elevator. So you will see that movement in the facade of the building. And we're also considering that as the opportunity to incorporate signage at the top of the building that identifies the American Physical Therapy Association. And we're still working on exactly what that signage would look like, but we think it probably won't be just APTA, but it might actually spell out the name, because not everyone knows what APTA is. So some of the things we're considering. The other thing that you'll notice here is that we really wanted the east side of the building to respond to the curve of Potomac Avenue. So we have this great sweep of glass on the east side of the building that is a parallel curve that really parallels the road and creates, you know, what we think will be beautiful office space with a floor-to-ceiling glass and a completely uninterrupted view looking out to the east and taking full advantage of that great view that exists. And then the other thing you'll notice is at the ground floor, we have a ground floor area that's projected slightly, and then we've created a two-story entry piece that is where the main front door of the building is on Potomac Avenue. So what this is doing is it's creating a two-story entry leading into a two-story lobby experience. And the other thing that it does is it kind of creates this alignment with the two-story podium of the NIB building. So really, the intention here, and this really came out of a lot of discussions that we've had with planning and zoning and with the city architect, where we really wanted to make these two buildings kind of knit them together. So you'll see, if I go to this next view, you'll see a lot of alignments that occur between the two buildings. So you can see here that the two-story base on NIB continues on that same curve and forms the two-story entry to the APTA building. You see these kind of one-story storefronts that exist on the NIB building that are on a 30-foot module, and we're basically picking up on that over here and creating, again, these large storefront windows and making sure that we have an alignment between the top of that one-story piece and the top of their first floor as well. And then you'll also see, I'm going to use the cursor to point because I'm not tall enough, you'll see that at the top of the sixth floor, we have an alignment that occurs between the top of the masonry on NIB and the top of the precast on the APTA building, and again, the top of the metal panel on NIB and the top of the metal panel on APTA. So we're really trying to use these alignments as a way of tying the two buildings together, even though the architecture of the building is quite different. You know, we're not trying to make it look like one building. We're not using the same palette of materials. but we want, formally, we want those two buildings to sit together well as neighbors. I'm going to sort of just take us around the building in a series of views. So this is a view, boy, that really does look tall and skinny. Maybe that's a good thing, I don't know. This is a view from the proposed new Westman Drive. So now you're looking at the north facade of the building. That curved facade is kind of around this corner. That first floor space is coming through here, and you can see the stair tower to the north of the building and how prominently that is featured. Whilst the east elevation of the building is continuous glass and floor-to-ceiling glass, on the north, south, and west sides of the building, we have a more typical punch window configuration. In this case, we're proposing to do two-story punched windows. So each precast concrete frame, if you will, contains two windows. So we're sort of pairing our floors and creating sort of three pairs of floors for the second and third, fourth and fifth, and sixth and seventh floors of the building. And that language, that proportion, relates fairly closely to what IDA is doing on the other side of Dove Street. So there'll be a definite kind of dialogue between those two buildings in terms of how they relate to one another. We're also proposing to use two different colors of precast concrete panels, kind of a light buff color. It looks a little bit yellow in this view, but we're going to more of a kind of a limestone buff color, and then a darker gray color to provide more articulation to the precast facade and almost kind of create the illusion of larger openings and pairing those two windows vertically within the punched openings. The space in the foreground here is the plaza that we're proposing. This larger area of glass would be into that amenity space, that cafe space potentially that I mentioned, and this right here is where that active entry is for people who are coming from the walking or biking trails. On this side of the building, this would be the fitness center located over here, so we still have activity and glass at the ground floor activating Dove Street, and then further down we have the entrances to the parking zone and loading areas. This is kind of more of a straight-on elevation, so if you were driving down Potomac Avenue, this is the view of the building that you would have, and you can see how it steps from seven stories, sort of steps up at the stair, and then steps down again to the six-story volume with the roof terrace on the Potomac Avenue side. And you can see how, you know, it's certainly our intention that we want to really make a feature out of the stair. We've started to look at the design of the stair itself, the guardrails, the flights and the landings, so that it's something with this sort of diagonal pattern that is maybe accented with lighting and color so that the stair really becomes an interesting feature of the building. And then this is the southwest corner. So because we pushed our core, our restrooms and elevators and our second stair, all the way to the south end of the site, we have a fair amount of our south elevation which has no windows in it. And part of the reason for that is because it's right on that property line, we actually can't put windows for fire reasons. We need the fire separation. So that's a fire-rated party wall condition. But we are breaking it up. We're breaking up the mass by introducing, again, the different color of precast to sort of separate the seven-story and the six-story element. And then at the southwest corner, we're actually setting the building back about 12 feet. And when we set it back that far, that makes it possible for us to then introduce windows into the facade. So what that means is that at the southwest corner, the facade on the west side of the building wraps around the corner and turns back into the core kind of dies against that solid surface. And we actually have a corner window here. And we're hoping that corner of the building will actually enjoy some views down Dove Street into the town center for the Potomac Yard town center moment. This little step back here at the corner is also aligning, you know, the tower of NIB is set back the same distance. So this face of NIB is aligned with this face of APTA, and similarly this face of APTA aligns with NIB when it sets out to the property line. So again, on the west side of the building, we're trying to achieve those key alignments between our building and our neighbor. And then this is more of sort of an eye level view as you, that you might experience if you're coming from the metro. So you see NIB on the left, and then this sort of two-story entry experience. And what you're really also going to see here is this kind of two-story entry, and then what you're seeing here is actually the atrium. So this is one volume all the way from the front door all the way up to the top of the building. That is a seven-story, one continuous seven-story space, which will be, we think, a really nice, a really attractive atrium space with this connecting stair within the atrium that, again, is our way of rewarding vertical movement and emphasizing the vertical movement within the building. You can see now how the glass, it has that sort of slow curves. It curves away from you as Potomac Avenue curves to the west, the facade of the building, both at the entry piece, at the ground floor, and then at these upper floors, follows that parallel curve and kind of curves away in your view. And then this is just a very preliminary view right now, but giving a little bit of a sense of what that roof terrace is like. We've actually already made a few adjustments to this massing based on some of our conversations with planning and zoning and with the city architect. But again, that idea that this element to the south is really the top of the atrium. We'll have a beautiful conference room right at the corner here. And then within the seventh floor, we have a multi-purpose room and other functions that open directly out onto this roof area. And the roof will be some combination of a terrace area that will people can spill out onto, and then a vegetated green roof as well. So it will kind of soften that experience and have some vegetation out there as well. And you can see the terrace sort of slides back about 10 feet under the building. So there'll be areas here that are shaded and protected. So if the weather's not so good or if it's blazing hot, you can still go outside and be protected from the weather in that part of the building. The other area that you're seeing here is our mechanical equipment. We're actually using rooftop mechanical units, but we're proposing to enclose those in a screen wall that comes all the way up to the top of the unit. So for many of the adjacent buildings, essentially it will look like a penthouse sitting on top of the building. And that the height of that penthouse will approximately align with the height of the penthouse on the NIB building. So that was really sort of running through kind of the architectural concepts for the building and where we are right now with the design. I wanted to also include give an update on the design of the plaza and give you guys a sense of how that relates to what we're doing. So what you'll see, this is our current design drawing. This is actually Dan's drawing. Dan is here and can provide more information if necessary on the design of the plaza. But really what we wanted to do here was continue the streetscape that's already been established. So we have the same paving materials on Potomac and Dogue and the same street trees and the same details that have already been established at the NIB building. So it feels like a coherent kind of pedestrian experience. But then when we get to the plaza at the north end of our site, really kind of step it up and create something that's really sort of special and unique. And part of the inspiration, again, thinking about how thematically this building ties to APTA, was this idea of sort of, when you look at drawings of musculature and you know, drawings of from medical textbooks that show kind of tendons and sinews and muscles and how they operate, you see the sort of overlapping of you know, these kinds of the musculature and the way that the tendons overlap one another, and that becomes part of how, you know, how our limbs are moved. So the design of the plaza sort of draws inspiration from that. It kind of extends the typical Alexandria sidewalk around the perimeter of the site, and then lays down these sort of bands of different types of paving and kind of overlaps them and has them cross one another, and actually even has those bands extend out all the way to the curb. And really part of the thinking with that is that as pedestrians are walking around there, around here, we want them to understand that the plaza is open to the public, and by sort of rolling out these pathways, really sort of invite them to come into the plaza and to experience that space. So you'll see that within the space, we have a combination of planted areas and hardscape areas. We have kind of a little bit more of a sort of a gathering space here with a variety of seating adjacent to the building and that entry. And then around the other parts of the plaza, we have different kinds of plantings. We have some small trees located back here at this end of the plaza. And at the front of the plaza, we wanted to have some different sort of plant materials, using primarily native plant materials, but to have things like decorative grasses and things that, again, are actually going to move. Things that, as the wind catches them, you'll see the plant materials moving, and that further adds to this idea of celebrating movement within the design of the building. So this is sort of a Studio 39's palette of plant materials that we're thinking about incorporating into the design of this space. And then we also have some ideas about the different types of pavers and how these different bands of paving will be articulated using materials. And Dan has gone to great lengths to find materials that are already used in Alexandria that the city has already approved in other locations. So we're not doing anything here that is exotic or that's hard to maintain. But really using the different paving materials to create interest and to create sort of pattern and complexity to the design of the plaza that sort of reflects some of the themes of movement and some of the themes of the body that we've talked about as the conceptual underpinning for the project. So that's sort of where we are in the design. There's one other little issue here that I think, Bob, you were going to address.
Certainly. Thanks, Duncan, and thanks for giving everybody a pretty thorough understanding of what we're thinking in terms of an architecture and a design standpoint for the building. This last exhibit, and I appreciate that this was not in the materials that were distributed to you last week. One of the issues that staff raised in the memo that was published last week that you all have had an opportunity to read, hopefully, one of the issues that they raised was the location of the underground transformer vault, the utility vault. This building, as you see here on our site plan here, like virtually all other buildings in Potomac Yard, is built on all sides to the property line here on Potomac Avenue, and also to the west along what is going to be the future Doak Street. One of the things staff has encouraged us to do is explore opportunities to locate the underground utility vault on private property, not within what's going to be the future right-of-way on Doak Street. For a number of reasons, we think that the Doak Street location is preferable. The square blue box that you see here towards the top of the screen is where we propose to locate the underground utility vault. We think that this is a preferable location for a number of reasons. First of all, if you look here a little bit to the south, this is the location of the underground utility vault for the NIB building. It's also located under Doak Street, which again is going to be future right-of-way. NIB obtained approval of an encroachment to allow them to do that. The challenge that we have is the only portion of our property that will remain private property and not future right-of-way that would be feasible to locate the utility vault is squarely within the public plaza that Duncan just spent a considerable amount of time talking about. Duncan was mentioning that the public plaza will include really nice hardscape features, very nice landscape features, things like tree pits, seating areas, really like a nice, welcoming, usable place, not only for APTA employees, but also for members of the general public. This exhibit that we put together within the last week shows the impact that siting that utility vault would have on the public plaza. This box here is one of the locations that we've identified for future tree pits, an opportunity to do some really nice landscaping. Unfortunately, the limits of the underground garage, which are kind of identified here by this shaded red box, significantly limit our ability to locate that utility vault anywhere in the public plaza that would not be impactful from a landscaping standpoint. In addition, this red shaded triangle
is actually property that's owned by Land Bay F to the north. This is not property that is owned by APTA, and for a variety of reasons, the owners of Land Bay F do not want us to put the underground utility vault here on a portion of their property.
I think the biggest reason really is the impact on the public plaza that that utility vault would have. It's a fairly significantly sized space that it would require to put here, and given that other utility vaults along have been already approved along Doak Street, and given that Doak Street is really more of a service-oriented street, you see our loading and our garage access are located here. NIB's loading and garage access are located here, as are the loading and service access points to the IDA building to the west. We really feel that the Doak Street location is a preferred site for that underground utility vault. Again, we're continuing to work with staff on that, but again, because it was raised as an issue in the memo, we thought it would be appropriate to share with you our thoughts and an exhibit to illustrate why we think that Doak Street is a preferable location. At this point, again, we're excited to hear your feedback. This is the first time that we're coming to you with this proposal. I imagine you'll have some questions. I imagine you'll have some comments. But again, we're very excited about this opportunity here to keep APTA in the city of Alexandria and to relocate them to one of the more exciting locations in the city in Potomac Hill. So with that, I would be curious to hear what questions and comments and feedback you'll have.
Can I ask about the staff concerns with the location of the underground transformer unit? Because the memo says there's a concern, but it doesn't really elaborate on it.
Yeah, I can speak to that. So the concern is mainly coming from the transportation department. And the issue is that kind of the recent policy decision within that department is to keep transformers out of the public right-of-way, mainly for maintenance concerns and accessibility concerns. You know, if Dominion has to go in and maintain the transformer, essentially we could have a closed sidewalk situation or a closed alley or road if it's in a different type of public space. So I think that's kind of the main driver of that concern at this time. But I will say that we are continuing to, you know, analyze it and discuss alternatives with them and the applicant team right now.
While we're on that, is it currently allowed by right for them to have it in the sidewalk?
No.
I should say that Doak Street is actually, it's a future street, it's not yet been constructed, and currently it's private property, so technically now, if it were to be put there today, there would be no encroachment, but because it is identified for future dedication once it's constructed, that's the position the transportation staff.
It's just interesting to me because I just went on a site in New York, I just went out of my way to provide an off-street transformer, and then I was told that Con Edison wants them in the sidewalk and in the street.
We do projects all over the place, and some jurisdictions want them in the right-of-way, right, and some jurisdictions don't want them in the right-of-way. There's no consistency about that.
And I will add, too, that Dominion often changes their preference on the location as well. So, you know, a couple of years ago, it was okay to put them kind of in the loading areas as long as they were accessible. That has since changed, and so it's kind of a push and pull.
Yeah. We're all working together.
All parties.
To find a solution.
Well, I have questions about the plaza primarily, but should we come back to that and start with the architecture and kind of, does it matter?
I think it's open for anything.
You guys probably, why don't you guys go?
I think we should probably just kind of maybe look at some of the comments that are on here from the staff and see, use that as a benchmark to start the discussion and maybe see how, bring up anything else we might want to along the way. That helps everybody.
I'll start off with, I'm not going to do that. Because I got to the, because I read the first one and it was one of the things on my list anyway, so maybe
yeah,
so I'll go
exactly.
there.
Yeah.
I think the attempt to knit the buildings together, that's the first one, is a little too literal there on the first floor. You know, even if that gray portal was the same height, but that little section between it and the red were broken off, that would be an improvement. I think having them be such a mirror image of each other is actually a distraction there. But my biggest question, and it's actually a very lovely building, so I feel good about it. And now I'll ask the hard questions. Having said that, because there's it's easy to see it and ask those questions. I'm really puzzled by the fact that you have a beautiful flat iron site that's a terminated vista, but you've behaved as if you still have that other property line. In other words, your building doesn't really wrap out into your curved facade doesn't extend further. Your building doesn't really embrace the unusual site as much as I might expect it to. And I don't know if that's maybe perhaps that's a function of timing and when you found out you could get the extra lot there.
We can't build on it.
Well, you can't.
We can only build under it. We can't build over it.
That would be the reason.
So really, this line right here is the extent that we can build to. So
okay.
We can't quite meet the flat iron.
This lot, by the way, it's identified as outlot A. And under the prior iteration of the prior alignment of Doak Street was actually planned to kind of wrap around here and connect out here toward Potomac Avenue. And it was planned for future dedication. And so that's really the reason why that's not buildable from a building standpoint. Duncan mentioned that our parking garage would be located under a portion of that lot. But you know, we identified it as actually an opportunity. What may be viewed as a challenge is an opportunity to provide, you know, again, a usable, pleasant, open space feature for APTA and also members of the general public. That'll be accessible.
The plaza is nice. It just looked like you were holding to such a hard line, and now I know why. And so the other piece is it's puzzling to me that you didn't want to put more of a lobby or connect your lobby to this tower element. Because I think the tower element is great. You've got the stair in there, and it's at the end of all these streets that are pointing toward it, and then you get to the bottom and you have a single fire exit that doesn't connect to the lobby. And that seems odd.
I had the same question, but then when you guys explained it, it made a little bit more sense, and I don't know if that was just with the whole physical therapy emphasis. But yeah, I wondered about that too.
I just desperately wanted to be able to go in that door and have it be the entrance.
Yeah, I had the same feeling.
Yeah. Well, you know, we debated where the front door of the building should be for some time. I think that part of the thinking is that really there are two entrances, that, you know, that APTA and their staff will be able to use the entrance on Potomac and use the entrance on the plaza. But they're also, right now it would appear, we don't know, we're still working through the programming and some of the interior space planning, but it seems likely that APTA will be on probably four or five floors of the building, and that two or three floors will be leased to other tenants. So there are other tenants in the building, and again, we felt that the proximity to Metro and the idea that really this site is such a great site because of that proximity to Metro, that to make everyone coming from Metro walk all the way around the block to get to the front door seemed kind of a little perverse. So.
But you're only 15 feet from the back of the back of that stair to your lobby in plan, right?
15 feet from.
So on the interior, you know, you have a very narrow sort of space that's connecting the amenity and the amenity and the tenant, and if they are separate program elements, couldn't you just punch through and have that?
Well, I guess what I would say to that is that this configuration is still very much in flux.
Sure.
And the space that's listed there as tenant space and the space that's listed there as amenity space are really not designed yet. And our intent, I think, is that there will be a meaningful connection between the lobby space and the plaza somehow through whatever program elements end up
landing within those areas. So we do see it as sort of a continuum, but it's almost like, if you like, this is sort of like the more formal entry, and this is sort of a more informal entry on that side, and the spaces as they're laid out will reflect that sort of graduation of use.
With regards to the tenant space, I guess it's more of like a, I don't know, an economics question or something, but you don't know who would be in the tenant space, obviously, but could that have a retail use in it, or is it like,
so
that wouldn't happen?
We're calling it tenant, but we're pretty sure it will be APTA spaces.
Okay.
Because I think that a big part of what APTA has been talking about as an opportunity with this project is to is around this idea of engaging with the community and engaging with their membership. And of course, their membership don't work in the building every day. They work all over the country, but they come to this building on occasion. So I think that, you know, we're still determining exactly what those spaces are, but they're going to be, you know, sort of public-facing or membership-facing kind of spaces, probably, that will provide active uses there. So our hope is that while there isn't any retail, that there are spaces there that are kind of retail-like in terms of the way that they're used and the activity that will be going on within those spaces.
I got some more questions about the relationship to the metro station. So I should know this, but where you said that the southernmost entry, when you were looking at it, kind of aligns with Glebra, but where does the, I guess, where would the northernmost entry and crossing be? Are you guys able to zoom in?
Farther up Potomac Avenue. I'm not exactly sure where it lands.
Is that beyond?
It's considered.
Pretty far.
It lands on the southern end of the existing movie theater parking lot.
Okay. All right. So it's that far. So I got you.
So right around here, Robert?
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be the, and that is what's going to, that's currently contemplated as kind of primary entry, you would say, but the entry that's going to come to the intersection of Potomac Avenue East Glebe is kind of a secondary.
So there'll be one kind of point where you can come out of the station and cross the road down here, and potentially another kind of up in here somewhere. Mm-hmm. So for our site, this one is going to be closer.
Yeah,
gotcha. I mean, you could conceivably come from the other direction if you wanted to ride in the first car of the train.
That's good. I mean, I get to my question, if you guys are just thinking about who's going to be passing through the plaza, who's going to be using it, which direction are they going to be coming from? I guess obviously Metro. What else do you guys see in that? Are you kind of still studying it, I guess, as far as?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we've learned is, you know, we've got the bike trail, which I think currently is on this side, but will ultimately be right here. And there'll be an opportunity, I think, to cross, because Westman Drive is identified as one of the major bike path connectors, kind of in an east-west direction. So that plaza really is sort of at the intersection of these major bike routes. Mm-hmm. So okay. That's one reason why we were excited about it, that opportunity. Mm-hmm.
In terms of the relationship to Metro and sort of what the visual experience is going to be like for people exiting Metro and also just people walking around in the community, I will say that in advance of this meeting, I walked my dogs around the area this weekend, which is right up the street from me, but walked the dogs around the area, and the NIB building is going to be like a huge obstacle for people getting off Metro, if we talk about looking at the Potomac Yard Town Center. But, I mean, obviously, that's there now, so this building doesn't, you know, doesn't do anything.
Right.
In that sense, I think that to the extent that, you know, you have the plaza there for the other entrance, I think that's a great thing to maybe create a little bit more open space, more visual lines. I saw in some of your renderings that you still have trees on Doak Street, even though it's a, you know, not a primary street. I think that's a really good thing. Mm-hmm. This weekend, I saw more and more people were just walking around Potomac Yards, And they're already starting to cut through some of those little streets to get to the shopping and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that even here now, some of these access roads, like this one, is much more pleasant than the one on the other side of this building, which is, you know, pretty bad. So I think even trying to preserve some of the, you know, the walkability of the access roads is going to be good if, you know, if this community becomes a really great walkable space. On the plaza itself, I really like some of your design elements. I think that, you know, the motion and stuff like that is, it's pretty evident, and I think it's creative. I have a question about the materials. You said something about, like, they'll be pretty easy to maintain. So is the city going to be responsible for maintaining the materials?
So APTA will be responsible for maintaining the plaza area that's within the right-of-way. But the... So it's a little hard to see here, but this little dashed line that comes around here, goes around here. The sidewalk areas outside of that zone are maintained by the city as part of, as they maintain all of the other sidewalks and the right-of-way areas. So the curb and gutter tree pit sidewalk is the city's, and then everything within that area will be maintained by APTA. And the reason I mentioned about the pavers is just that, as you can see, we're trying to extend some of those design moves out into the sidewalk to sort of expand the plaza into that public space. And so that's where, you know, in those places, it's kind of that there'll be two different parties responsible. And we wanted to make sure that the city was comfortable with all the materials that we were proposing.
And I'll let Ryan fill in, but we're working with the city to choose materials, pavers, materials that would be acceptable to the city. I think that they're developing kind of a menu or a palette of possible paver materials that the city would be comfortable with us using. Again, that's something that we're working with staff on, and we're working with the city on to ensure that we're using materials that would be acceptable to them.
And to tie into the metro, because that was one of the things.
So there's already a palette of materials kind of blessed for the Potomac Yard area that they can choose from. And then there's also a more recent palette that's being developed for the East Eisenhower area. All with kind of comparable maintenance costs and things like that. So there's a pretty wide selection, and it would, you know, tie in with the other palette of the yard.
From a layperson's perspective, I think some of the curves in this plaza also tie into the existing open space along Potomac Avenue, you know, at least in some ways. So there's a lot of crossings.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to talk about the design of the plaza. I think it's really dynamic design. I like the materials, and the benches look really cool. The streetlight benches or whatever, those look really neat. I did have some questions about it, though. I mean, to me, I like the diagonals, but I was curious as to know whether they aligned with anything, any kind of larger circulation patterns. I think they look cool. But it's like, do they mean anything, or are they just kind of like an expression of the musculature and everything, which is fine. But it made me wonder, it's like, wow, those ought to be going somewhere. And I couldn't really figure out if they were, and, you know, they don't have to. But I thought it might be interesting if, oh, okay, this is a circulation route. There's a hierarchy of circulation paths that this is responding to.
I would say to some extent that is the case. I think that the major diagonal that extends up through here was basically connecting the doors that occur here to out here to sort of the intersection and the crosswalks.
Okay.
So that was kind of really connecting that kind of gathering space at the heart of the plaza to the corner where people would typically be arriving from. The walkway that extends this way, which is sort of, you know, a little more secondary, that actually does align with the sidewalk that's coming down Westman before Westman makes that kink at the end. So that would align with that location. And I think that the diagonal that's
sort of passing across this way was more just sort of almost like a desire line. You know, if you wanted to kind of cut the corner, it gives you a way to kind of walk through. So part of it was compositional, and part of it was just thinking about where people are likely to be moving and how they would want to move.
Okay. And that makes sense. I think it's, yeah, I think it's a cool design. To me, it's a little bit cluttered looking, and maybe if some of the spaces could be unified or simplified just a bit, I think it might be a little bit more legible. But that's just looking at it now. I'm sure it's still way early days. Mm-hmm. I just see a lot of crossings. It just seems a little bit busy, but it's cool.
And the other thing I didn't mention before, but you know, obviously the stair is a very, very strong vertical element, and so this sort of planter that's extending out from here is really, you know, we also wanted people coming down Potomac to have sort of a little landscape cue that sort of sets that up as well. So
yeah,
everything's kind of coming from something and going to something.
Yeah, and you can maybe make more of that. I don't know. I mean, I'm, you know, landscape guy, so I'm looking for more plants, but.
And I think also just the idea that it's very permeable, you know, that it's easy to get in and
That's
out.
A good point. Are you guys using permeable pavements anywhere in here, or do you have to?
So,
or since you're over structure, can you do that?
Most of the design is over structure. And this site, I think along with some others, is already, the stormwater management for this site has already been designed and is incorporated into the pond, which is on the other side of Potomac Avenue. We are on Westman Drive, because that's a new drive. We are doing the BMP tree pits there, which take the surface runoff from the street and actually bring that into the planted areas and use that for cleaning and filtration. Okay. So we are trying to incorporate some of those practices where we can, but we're not, you know, we've already got the kind of the stormwater management sort of concept has already been sort of designed and set up for this property.
What is the restriction that's keeping you from building on that? That you can build under it but not on top of it?
That is a good question. I think that part of it is, well, you know what, I'm gonna let
staff
people smarter than you.
I think it all has to do with that parcel out Lot A was originally planned for right of way, for dedication. And so I think that.
Who owns it now?
Currently, APTA. APTA has purchased the property.
Okay.
However, as part of the deal there, I think that we kind of worked with staff and came to an agreement that was an opportunity to provide some additional open space and a usable public realm, so to speak. And that was more or less the decision that was made. Again, I hear what you're saying. A challenge from an architectural standpoint is really a great opportunity, I think, to provide something that's usable for the public.
Sure, I'm not opposed to the plaza. Mm-hmm. I just wish that vertical line were just, even if part of it were tangent to the curve, it would just be so nice.
I think that, you know, when we made our first kind of concept one submission, we actually had two versions of the site plan, one showing this and one showing the original configuration of Doak Street coming around. So I don't quite understand. I mean, clearly this is what everyone wants to do, but I guess there's still a possibility that this, depending on how, it involves negotiation with the Potomac Yard North property owners and all that. So, you know, there is still, I guess, a possibility that you might revert back to the original configuration of Doak, in which case you wouldn't be able to push the building any further to the north.
Is that true? That's still in flux?
Yeah, so based on the currently approved master infrastructure plan, the Doak connection to Potomac Avenue go to the right. Given the JBG Smith is involved with both NBG and AF, and given the North Potomac Yard infrastructure plan and phase one progressive program we did, we identified an opportunity here to work together to try and install a section of weather in advance of the rest of weather going in. And we, given our obligations to NIP, Dove has to go in for it. So Dove is going to be installed in, I would say, spring, early summer. So we're going through right now to modify the master infrastructure plan to incorporate this configuration. Mm-hmm. But there is no density that's been approved as part of the CED for how about it.
And are we using all of your density on this parcel?
Yes.
Okay. So theoretically, if I'm not mistaken about process, you could, once that's been filed for the change to the infrastructure plan, you could request as part of your SUP and your amendment package, you could also throw in a little bit of density to get a quirky corner.
Well, that would require something additional other than just a DSUP amendment. That would require a CDP amendment.
Okay.
Recall, previously I said that this block, what was previously Block A, it was approved for about 220,000 square feet. It was actually supposed to originally be, under the original approvals, it was going to be one building. When NIB came in and did their amendment, they subdivided it. And so in order to get any additional density, in order to get any additional density on that Lot A, that would require a full sale.
Okay.
CDD.
That's hard. Got it.
But I think what Jeremy's kind of talking about is maybe taking some of more of that dynamism that's in the plaza and kind of apply it or incorporate or somehow project it onto that north facade, because that's going to be the big facade that you see coming down Potomac Avenue from, especially from the main metro entrance or landing area up there. So, and you're talking about this stair tower, maybe that becomes something more special and takes some of those dynamic cues from all these angled pieces. I don't know, it doesn't have to be literally angled, but you know, really celebrate that north facade if that's kind of the, you know, the main entrance is on the south, but if you're talking about people coming down from the parkway on the bike, you know, that's, that may be where 75% of your people come in that side door.
We can certainly explore that.
Yeah, and we are starting to really dig into that stair and look for opportunities to make it a really unique element.
Because right now it's kind of the same material as the rest of the building. Maybe it's something really somehow even more different as that landmark piece.
So speaking of the split parcel, this is a free and clear lot. It's not a part of a condo for the whole block. Is that correct?
Sorry?
This isn't a condo ownership split across the site, right?
No.
Okay. I was just trying to figure out if there's a way to get glass for you on that backside. You know, I certainly agree with the city on staff on not using EFIS. I would avoid it at all costs.
Yeah, and their suggestion of, I think, one solution to that is on this. One of these comments were talking about bringing the metal on the penthouse down the backside as a way to use the mural pallets you already have to incorporate to remove some of that EFIS language potentially. I think it was on the image of the rear side, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I read as their suggestion.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Is it even allowed to be used in? We don't have it outlawed in the Potomac Yard.
What's the question?
Whether or not they're actually, like, as it's not already in the ordinance to prohibit its use.
The outlaw?
No,
the EFIS.
Oh, the EFIS, no.
I don't believe it's specifically prohibited.
But it's definitely a policy that it's not acceptable.
We're going to work with the city. Side of the building that's appropriate and acceptable and it's going to hold up and be, you know, durable, have longevity.
What's the north facing side of NIB look like? Is it just a plain?
So they actually, let me go to the. It's a little hard to see, but they're. The tall part of their building actually sets back about 15 feet, and then the lower two floors of their building go directly up to the property line. So this large gray sort of box that you're seeing here
That's where their building and our building will be touching. above that box and to that side of the second floor, their building, they wanted windows on the north side, so their building does set back 15 feet. And so there'll be approximately, I think it's between 15 and 20 feet of airspace between the two buildings, which you're kind of looking down into here. But at the lower two levels, the two buildings literally come together.
Okay. So, on the another point on the visual connection, I saw the memo says to maybe change the staff recommendation is to change the color to make it more white and less yellow.
Yes.
And you're going to do that?
Yes. Yeah, we actually have already done that since we produced these 3D images, but you know, we submitted these two materials 2 weeks ago, so these aren't the completely current design. So these are all things that are developing as we move ahead with the design.
I would recommend, I guess, you guys look at all the materials between the buildings. I know that the IBA building is a very light colored precast as well. I think paying attention to those two being right across from the street from each other, not similar, not just a bit off, so it looks a little weird, I think an important key thing to pay attention to. That's a good point.
It might look weird if the touching buildings are different colors and across the street are
the same.
Virtually the same. Yeah.
Right.
So Jason, is your comment that we should be like IDA or should be different from?
I think different.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to be clear.
And don't clash with, I think, was the other thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, you don't want to near miss, right?
Exactly.
You just want to be the same or noticeably different,
right?
No, but not kind of just off. Go.
Speaking of noticeably different, I like the two-tone play.
Mm-hmm. I had a question. Maybe this is for Ryan. You might be able to speak to this. So going back to the plaza. You know, given that within Potomac Yard has all this network of very carefully, you know, designed or planned for public spaces already, like, how do you guys see, because like you guys have said, this is a big opportunity to have this, oh, this is cool, we've got this big plaza, it's a pretty substantial area. So, like, how have you guys thought about this with relationship to the other, you know, like, here's the town green, and here's the big market common in front of IDA or whatever that's going to be like. What do you guys see as far as what this place should be?
I mean, I think Duncan articulated kind of our vision for it as well, in that there's, you know, there is a bicycle connection planned between the trail going up Route 1, kind of coming eastbound on Wesmond to connect to the metro station. And you know, that is going to pass right by this plaza.
Yeah.
And so I think we saw it as a good opportunity to have kind of a meeting place, you know, kind of as you're going towards the metro, also as, you know, a place to kind of get off the bike, you know, and wait for someone, and just interact with the space along with the tenants of the building. So we're viewing it more as a passive kind of connector open space.
Mm-hmm.
Is there enough of a disconnect between the bike path and like pedestrian traffic or the seating area so that you don't feel like you're, you know, being overwhelmed by zooming bikes on the path?
That's a good question. So right now the plan is, it's not visible in this diagram, but the street section in Wesmond would incorporate a bike lane off of the sidewalk, a protected bike lane.
That's good, because I think that's something that the designers can use to kind of think about what's going to go in the space or what should go there. You know, maybe there ought to be more bike-friendly amenities or, you know, apart from bike racks. I guess that's the main thing. But there could be some kind of other structures or spaces that would set up for that kind of encounter, like kind of a crossing space, like you said. That could be cool.
Or is there any consideration for like a bike share, considering it's right on the bike path?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's possible. I know that there's kind of strategic depending on the spacing of the stations. So that's something we can certainly look at.
Won't there be a bike share at the metro though?
There will.
There will just be bikes littering the entire space.
I was going to say, it's those dockless bikes.
Welcome to the future.
Now, with the outdoor seating on the plaza, is that the amenities responsibility? Is, you know, there's a cafe there. Is that the cafe's open seating? Or is that
right now,
public open seating?
The consideration is that it would be, seating would be ATA seating that they would maintain, but that it would not necessarily be, you know, off limits. It would be something that the public could use as well. We had talked about it being a combination of some different types of seating, so there would be fixed benches as part of it, which would obviously be there all the time, and then there would also be some movable seating, which might be deployed differently at different times of year, you know, so in the winter some of the seating might move inside, the fixed benches would obviously remain, so it would be a combination. And it also means that they, you know, the movable stuff could be, you know, if there was some kind of event that was happening, or you know, if APTA was or, you know, some sort of biking event or APTA related event going on within the building, that they could move the seating out of the way and, you know, create some other sort of event space.
Yeah.
Lots of.
Like a little yoga session or
yes.
something out in the park. You know, first
exactly.
Sort of.
Yes. Those kinds of things. Evoking the body and celebrating movement.
I'd like to ask about the economic uses of the building and go back to an earlier comment about the, you know, the ground floor retail being part of the original plan, and now you don't have to amend the plan, but there's no ground floor retail.
Correct.
I could answer that, I think. So the overall block, it was formerly all Block A, was planned for about 11,000 square feet of ground floor retail, and actually NIB is providing some of that. NIB, I think, is building, I don't have the number right in front of me right now, but close to about 9 or 10,000 square feet of that. And so I think there was a question earlier about why wouldn't we consider making some of our ground floor retail space. I think one of the concerns is from a marketability standpoint, there's only about maybe 1,500 square feet of ground floor retail density remaining for this site. And the question then becomes, well, what kind of tenants are really going to be using that kind of a space? Is that really marketable retail space? APTA feels that at this point anyway that it could probably better use that space. Again, it's going to be activated frontage along the ground floor. It's going to be all glass wall. It's going to be very active looking. And so we think that the amenities that we do install within that ground floor plate program will achieve, I think, some of the same goals as ground floor retail, which is activating the frontage there.
I think the last thing anyone wants is retail space that just remains vacant or that fails or isn't used. And I think that,
you know, typically retail loves company, right? It always wants to be with more retail. And the thought was that, you know, with NIB having retail in these spaces, it's really concentrating the retail activity on the town center, which is where there'll be a lot more retail and more synergy between those retailers. Whereas I think if we were putting in a little retail space all the way up in Block A, it's a little bit isolated from other retail storefront settings. So it might be harder for it to succeed in that location.
I mean, I certainly agree that, you know, there one retail space in total isolation is going to be less likely to succeed. I think, you know, for me, thinking about the long-term vision of Potomac Yard in total, not just, you know, mm-hmm. north or south Potomac Yard, you have the metro right there, and you start to transition as you go north to, you know, primarily retail, right? Mm-hmm. Ground floor retail, at least. So it almost seems a little bit out of keeping with the whole design plan to have retail at NIB, nothing, and then, you know, now go north more, you know, for walkers, for pedestrians. I think it's more contiguous to have it the whole way up.
Is, I mean, at least the way that I would read your plan, calling out a tenant space, you're setting it up that it could be retail.
Correct.
But that the first, you're saying that the first tenant is likely to be the building owner.
Correct.
But it could still go back to retail when
market conditions.
Well, again, there's only a very little amount of retail square footage remaining in this
right,
block.
Right, and that too. Who's
and in order to do anything significant, again, have to be in the CDD amendment process, which we're not in. APT has not
so
really.
So, what's the square footage of the tenant space that you have in there now?
I want to say it's maybe 5,000 square feet.
Much bigger.
Mm-hmm. 5,000 or 6,000 square feet.
And as I said, I think, you know, APTA has a whole bunch of things that they have in mind right now for how that space can really support their programs and, you know, support it with active uses.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you feel there's enough parking there? Let me say this, as a resident for that. I'm finding that the more buildings that are coming in and retail spaces and things like that, spreading out onto the roadways. Now, is there enough parking there to determine the people that are working in the building?
So we have three levels of parking, actually almost kind of a fourth level of parking below grade under the building. And that parking has been sized to be able to accommodate APTA's parking needs and their tenants, the additional office tenants that go into the building, their parking needs as well. With regard so that would be their staff parking and their visitor parking. With regard to the just the on-street parking, you know, just the way that this project is configured, we're fairly limited in where we can provide that. We are proposing to show an additional four parking spaces on Potomac Avenue. The sidewalk in front of NIB cuts back here, and there's an area that's currently striped. It's not parking at the moment, but we believe we can convert that to parking so we get a little bit more street parking in front of the building.
Okay, that sounds good. This is the road to the city, I understand. But as all these buildings build up, there is going to be a parking problem. We already have, by the time we're on Boulevard, this anyway, we already have a parking problem there. So perhaps we could consider a lot more parking more in these buildings, these little scribe, you know, blocks coming in.
Will the parking garage be private or will it be open for public use?
It'll be private.
Right.
Right.
One other thing that's trying to just kind of add on this is a problem I see a lot in Crystal City where people just stop and travel in. There is parking on the side that they'll stop there to pick somebody up and do this, that, the other, run in, somebody to run in. So maybe just strike a few of those spaces right in front of the lobby so that if somebody says, well, pull up and stop, drop somebody off, probably just stop and travel. Mm-hmm.
So you're suggesting maybe like a 15-minute parking space or two up front?
Yeah, not really that so much, but just an area where somebody can pull up.
Okay.
Fire lane, even though that's probably technically illegal, but just so they're
those are good comments. And sir, if I can address your question about the shortage of parking, one of the tremendous assets that this site has is its proximity to Metro. We've said a couple times that the southern entrance to the future Metro rail station will be located directly across Potomac Avenue from the main entrance to the building. And so there's an expectation and anticipation that a good number of APTA employees will take Metro to work. It's something that, it, again, is a tremendous asset for this area of Potomac Yard specifically, and it's something that will be a huge benefit to APTA employees, visitors, members, people visiting the site.
Is there employees currently have, I miss where you said the previous location was, but do they have access to Metro currently, and do they have percentage of employees who do use Metro or plan on using it based on knowing that they're moving here?
It's not this kind of access to Metro.
Sure, sure.
There is below grade parking.
I think a good case study to always be aware of is Wilson Boulevard in Arlington, where you know they built tremendous amounts of new development and traffic numbers on Wilson Boulevard actually went down because so many people were using Metro or living there. One other thing to keep in mind with regard to Potomac Avenue, and this isn't a promise, it's just something that came up a lot in our process on North Potomac Yard, was there was a lot of public comment over and over through the whole 1 year process of having meetings every month. There was a lot of public comment about the design of Potomac Avenue and that it should be reconsidered both in its existing location and in its future incarnation and be made narrower or have parking added on the street. So, I mean, the city got and I think received and accepted a very strong message about considering the redesign of that, and some of that width might eventually, can't promise anything for on Ryan's behalf or the mayor's behalf or anybody, but you might get more parking on Potomac Avenue in the future.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of traffic on Potomac Avenue.
And it's fast, it's high speed traffic, so part of the concern was slowing it down. So that's way out there in the future, but just an interesting thing to be aware of.
Sure. I didn't know before for the city or for the developer, but as we've learned as Potomac Yard residents, the Potomac Yard plan is planned and is in the context of always being planning. And so I know that there is what is planned for retail space. I guess my question is more of what is the highest and best use for this space, for retail, especially to maximize its location near Metro. And also thinking it's a lovely plaza, and as a resident, I love that plaza, but what I'm also thinking is after dark, if there's no retail and the office is dark, what is the impact of that going to be on the community if there's no retail there that's activated on what it's going to mean for us as residents? Are we creating a dead space that could pose problems when the sun goes down, where problems can happen if we don't have an activated space there? So it would be great if it's activated from 8 to 5, but as residents, how are we keeping that activated from 5 until 8 in the morning? And if it's not going to be retail, what are going to be the eyes on that plaza? So it's activity that we support as neighbors and not activity that we don't support.
Great. Do you want to take that from a planning standpoint, Ryan?
Yeah, I would say that we're certainly not opposed to retail there. I think the plan kind of concentrated that retail, you know, in this area in particular, closer to the town center. But that doesn't mean that, you know, retail is fairly fluid in its location and will cluster, you know, as the market dictates. So I think it's important to note, you know, the floor to ceiling heights of this building are amenable to retail, so I wouldn't say that it's prohibited from this site. It's it's just more anticipated further to the west and south.
Mm-hmm. And just one thing to keep in mind, and I don't know if this is a PIDAC question or a planning commission question, but from a resident's perspective, is to really think about all of that. And there has certainly been a willingness from staff and the planning commission and the council to amend the plan for what they thought were the highest and best uses for planning and to become a guard and to not stop that point of view that they've had on different projects on this project.
I will say, obviously, we'll be lighting the plaza so that it is well illuminated and feels safe for people at night. And that stair tower will be lit up like a Christmas tree. So.
Right, but what is much more safe is you feel safer if there's 30 or 40 people who are sitting in a cafe, in a restaurant. You will just naturally feel more inclined to be there.
And the amenity could be a cafe, and you were saying. Maybe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it looks like it's one space, or it looks like it's shared with the tenant, but in reality, could that would be split up. Or that could be.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. I mean, you know, our office is on K Street in D.C., and we took over a ground floor retail space and moved a studio down there. But we also have our cafe down there. We have one of our conference rooms, and there's something going on in that space pretty much every evening, whether we're using it or whether our clients or other organizations are coming in to use it. So it's whilst it's not retail space, it is one of the more active storefronts on K Street. There's always something happening there. And so I think there are opportunities for, you know, even if it's just APTA using that space to extend the life beyond the kind of 8 to 5 and really make this part of the kind of the 18-hour city.
I think that the point that was just raised is a really, really good one, and you know, something that we really need to think about holistically as Potomac Yards develop. There's a lot of spaces right now that do not feel particularly safe to be around after 5 o'clock.
I'm just going to ask, I don't know if this is maybe for you, Ryan, some of the requested approvals involving 16-foot penthouse height and modification of height to setback ratio. I just want to just give us a background on what that means and what they're asking to be for.
Sure. So the 16-foot penthouse height is what it sounds like. Their penthouse is more than 16 feet.
It's
14 right now, and again, things are kind of evolving right now as we refine as we refine the design and move toward a formal submission. So under the prior iteration of the plans that we had submitted, I believe the penthouse was 16 feet. Currently, the zoning ordinance permits mechanical penthouses up to 15 feet. Any higher, you need to get a special use permit approval. But I believe in the latest and greatest plans that we've have, it's under that, so that special use permit will not be required.
Okay.
And the second one, I forget which street this applies to. I would imagine it's probably Gove, the center line of the street to the top of the building. There's a 1-to-2 ratio control plane that is, it's pretty common to have this one modified, particularly in a dense urban setting, but we'd have to go back and look. I'm pretty sure it's for Doak Street, okay. That control plane.
Are you referring to some kind of aspect between, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, so this section of the code requires that buildings, the measurements taken from the center line of a road, of the right of way. And so in this case, I believe, Mike, it's Dove.
Yeah, I believe it's Dove.
Yeah, so
66-foot right of way. So the center line of Dove Street is, you count basically one foot from the center line of Dove Street to the building wall, and then it's 1 foot of that per 2 feet of building height at the building wall. So if it's higher than, so let's just say it's approximately 40 or some feet, you know, just ballparking it between the center line of Dove and the building wall. If the building at that building wall is more than 80 feet, then it needs a height to setback ratio modification.
And they are relatively commonly requested, especially in Potomac Yard, where the design guidelines actually call for the building to be built to the property. So in order to form that street wall that's desired as a design element and design aspect of Potomac Yard, it's relatively common to request that modification.
There's some people that think that the buildings in Potomac Yard are way too close to the street. The sidewalks are too narrow. It makes things visually unappealing and unwalkable. So especially when you get towards the busy streets, which I guess Dove wouldn't be. I'm a little bit confused though about why didn't and the NIB building already get that waiver? Because their buildings are the same height, right?
Yes. I think they're up to 110 feet, so we'd have to look at stuff. They
probably, you can check on that. But yeah, it's likely that they did. It's a pretty common modification.
It seems weird that obviously Potomac Yard is planned around all this big density and urban site, but you'd have to, this wouldn't be automatically built into everything. Like, why would you have to request this if this is what you guys are?
Well, it's a citywide requirement.
The answer about the NIB question is yes. I copied the staff report over here, and they did receive approval of the same application.
Yeah, it probably makes a little more sense at all.
So we've got a lot of great comments. Are there anything else before we? Oh, sure. If someone in the back.
the stairwell is really, just one quick question, you guys probably already thought about it, but is that going to be conditioned space with all those windows and disco lights?
Okay, I'm not promising disco lights. It will be conditioned space. It won't be conditioned to the same sort of comfort level as someone's office, because it's a space that people are active and moving through. But it's going to be conditioned, so it's not, you know, so that people want to use it, you know, it's comfortable for people to use.
And it's on the north side, so you're not going to be getting a lot of direct sunlight.
Right. Glass, it's all glass on one side, and that glass is facing north. If it were facing south, it might really, or west, it would really start to heat up. But on the north side, it should be fine.
I have a request for staff. In the memo, the information in the memos that you prepare for us, very useful, but I found, in particular in this memo, probably through past memos, one of the things that I am always looking for is, you know, how do the buildings that are being proposed align with both the currently approved uses and previously approved uses. And so it would be very useful if you could sort of specifically call that out in like a table or some other format. Now, I don't know if other members of the committee have things that they're, you know, particularly interested in terms of how they align. I'm very interested in the uses. So the memo talks about like square feet of approved space and things
like
that.
So like a zoning table with the heights, you know, that are allowed and the square footages
and the
uses, yeah.
It's approved for.
Yeah, we can do that.
Whatever.
Well, again, we really appreciate all the comments and discussion and feedback tonight. This is the first time we're in front of you, obviously, with this proposal. We're going to take some of the feedback we've received tonight, go back. Again, we're continuing to work with staff on this. The plans, the project is continuing to evolve, but. Once we file the application, probably within the next couple of months, once we incorporate some changes, we'll come back to you for an update and to request hopefully a recommendation of support from you. But we appreciate your time tonight. I appreciate you all having us, and we look forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Appreciate it.
I guess we're adjourned. Mm-hmm.
Second.